This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, we continue. It is the Zach Gelb Show, hour number three of our radio program right here on CBS Sports Radio. Last night, World Series Game 1, Kershaw, Betts, Bellinger, they were the muscle for the Dodgers. Dodgers take a 1-0 series lead. Got game two coming up in a bit. Tony Gonsolin and Blake Snell on the mound for the Dodgers and Rays. As always, the Zach Gelb Show is coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. We head out to the hotline right now. Welcome in a man that played in the major leagues from 2001 to 2014, was an all-star with Tampa in 2009, also made a World Series appearance with the Rays in 2008. Now a superstar with the MLB Network, and that's Carlos Pena. Carlos, great to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. Always a pleasure.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. What is it like to see your Rays back in the World Series?
I got to say, I'm extremely proud. And if I'm allowed to be a fan, I'm pulling for the Rays right now very hard. And boy, do they have a formidable opponent in the Dodgers. This is a team that's absolutely stacked, and hopefully the Rays could bounce back to tonight and get a win because, in my opinion, it's a must-win. They have to get this W in Game 2.
And especially with Walker Buehler looming in Game 3, I agree with you. I think it's a must-win tonight, down 0-1. When I look back at your time with Tampa, especially that 2008 season, I know it didn't end the way that you guys wanted to, losing to the Phillies in the World Series, but what are the memories that come back to mind for this Fall Classic when you think back about your Fall Classic and also that entire season with Tampa?
Yeah, you know, when I look back at 2008, I often describe the season as magical. And obviously there's a lot more than just magic involved. Obviously there's great plan and preparation, a lot of talent. But what I mean by that it is a team that was down and out just a year before. As a matter of fact, the franchise had not won more than 60 games in their young history, right? 10 years, never won more than 60 games. And in 2008, for the first time, not only did we overtook that threshold, but we were the best team in the American League East and in baseball, really, with our record. And, yes, we did fall short in the World Series. But, boy, that is the most fun I've had playing baseball. And that is including Little League, backyard baseball. It doesn't really matter. It was so much fun and such a blast and one of my greatest memories I've had playing this game that I love so much.
Was that a tough offseason? Like, I know you guys accomplished a lot more than anyone thought you could, but how long did it take for that pain, even though you said it was fun in that season, for it to go away that you guys weren't able to slam the door shut and bring that World Series trophy to Tampa?
Oh, the season was fun, Zach, but let me tell you, losing the World Series was very, very painful, excruciatingly painful. As a matter of fact, I was crying in the bus. I'm not going to lie to you. It's just that, you know, you understand the difficulty of actually reaching that level. Finally, we were able to get to that spot. We know the magnitude of the historical effect that the entire narrative had. You know, oh, this team had never won, never been a winning ball club, and all of a sudden they find themselves in the World Series. Are you kidding me? This is like the epitome of what sports is like, and baseball lends itself for such beautiful stories. So for us not to be able to actually seal the deal and complete the story and kind of like just finish it with a nice bow, it hurt. It really hurt. And it did take me a while to get over it. Because, look, I never really got another opportunity to go to the World Series. Never got there again. So pretty much that was our only chance. Or, well, that was my only chance. And we couldn't capitalize. So the pain is real. If we're going to put it in perspective, it's basically what we all dream about. It's winning a World Series. And it kind of slipped through our fingers there against the Phillies. But here the Rays are finding themselves with another opportunity to finish what we started and to actually materialize that dream of bringing a championship back to Tampa.
Carlos Pena here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. Carlos, the small market and the situation that the Rays are in, when you look at these two teams, they're totally different. You know, I'm just curious, does that factor into players' minds? I know when the game's, you know, right in front of you, you're looking to just beat your opponent and win as many games as possible. But could that be used as a motivation factor? Because on paper, people look Dodgers and Tampa, and a lot of people say if the Dodgers lose this series, even though Tampa's been a great story this year and they've been a good team for a while, people would think it's embarrassing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. If you look at this situation, the discrepancy is absolutely huge. I mean, the Tampa Bay Rays with the 27th payroll in the league, you know, you look at them right at the bottom, and then you have the Dodgers, which are, they are second in the league, if I'm not mistaken, last time I looked. And even to make that even more magnified, when you look at the cost per win, Zach, it's ridiculous. Yeah. You know, the Rays right now, it cost them $1.9 million per win. If we look at the opening day payroll, and the Dodgers, actually, it's doubled that, almost tripled that at $3.9 million per win. So it's crazy when you think about it that way. Now, what happens to both teams when they understand that dynamic? Well, if you're the Dodgers, you could put extra pressure on yourself. You could start thinking the way you just mentioned, like, wait, if we lose, this is an embarrassment. And also, it could cause you to overlook the Rays. I don't think the Dodgers will do that. They're smarter than that. But you kind of take things for granted. Like, on paper, we're so much better than these guys, and our payroll pretty much shows it. You have to be careful with that. And then on the flip side, you have the Rays who play with a chip on their shoulder, saying, even though we have one of the lowest payrolls in the league, we're going to go out and beat the Goliath, the invincible Goliath, and the invincible and most difficult task that we have before us. That could be a huge motivation factor because, in essence, they're saying we can shock the world here, and this would be an amazing storyline. So whichever way you look at it, you have to just use whatever serves you best. And for the Rays, is to play that David and Goliath card and say, look, we're David and we're going up against Goliath. And at the end of the day, you know, David overtook the Philistines. So it's important to look at the poetic side of baseball, which I love, by the way. I'm a romantic when it comes to baseball. And that's why I think the race story would be a better one at this moment, especially in America and in the world. So we'll see if they can bounce back tonight.
The romantic all-star, Carlos Pena, here with us on the show. I know you're a Ray. I know you want to see the Rays win, but take the Tampa cap off for a moment. All eyes were on Kershaw last night. He stepped up, and he delivered six innings, only allowed two hits, an earned run, only one walk, and striked out eight Tampa Bay batters. How about what Kershaw was able to do last night, especially with all the pressure and all the shortcomings that he's had in the past in the postseason?
It was an excellent job. You know, we've heard the stories of him not performing in the postseason, and we thought that it had to do with so much bulk, all the innings that he threw during the season. And by the time the postseason got around, you know, he was tired. He wasn't himself. You know, in this case, you know, with a shortened sprint of 60 games, you know, we're arguing, oh, wait a second, now he's going to be fresh. When I asked him this question directly to him, he's like, no, you know, not true. In reality, I'm still throwing. I'm still doing sides. So as far as bulk of work for my arm, you know, I'm about the same. That's not it. And yesterday he came out and did an outstanding job. It's about execution. And yesterday he did execute his pitches and also went to the right places in the zone, because a lot of people say, oh, hitters hit mistakes. But we also have to note of, to take note of the fact that you can make the pitch you want to make, and maybe that pitch was the wrong pitch to throw in the first place, right? So that's a different story. And I thought Kershaw went to the right places in the zone against the Rays. He was pounding the ball up on the top of the zone. He was going up and in on guys, and then he was using the off-speed off of that exact trajectory, which makes it pretty much impossible for hitters to be able to recognize. And that's why he has success. So I don't just flip a coin and tell you, well, he just had a good night. No, he was executing, and his strategy was pristine.
Carlos Pena here with us. We all know how great of a baseball player Mookie Betts is. Nothing should surprise me anymore, but your jaw really has to hit the floor with what he was able to do last night.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking at it. I'm like, wait a second. Is there anything that he cannot do? I mean, what are the limits of his talent? You know, there was a point in time where when I was looking at all the athletes in baseball, you know, including Mike Trout, you know, Mookie Betts was most definitely at the top. And I would say he's one of the top three athletes in the game and baseball players, period, you know. But what he was able to do last night, crunch time when it really mattered. You know, it's so important to punch first in the postseason. So important to punch first in the World Series, certainly. He was stealing bases, hitting bullets all over the place, playing defense and hitting, you know, going placata on people, you know, hitting a home run the other way. He can do it all. Zach, he can do it all. And this is something I've been seeing and saying ever since I first saw him get to the major leagues with the Boston Red Sox. As well, I saw him quite often. He's just a one-of-a-kind player. And, you know, we're talking about 5'2 players. Well, right there is the archetype of a 5'2 player. You're watching it when you see Mookie Betts take the field. It's just flat-out impressive.
He checks all the boxes. Hey, I think Trout's the best player in baseball, but Mookie Betts, Carlos, like you were talking about, he could be the most exciting player in baseball, and Mookie does one thing that Trout doesn't do, and he's in the postseason. You know, that's the unfortunate part. We've only seen 3 postseason games for Mike Trout, and you know there's a lot of casual baseball fans and how important it is to perform on the big stage. What you get to see on the big stage out of Mookie Betts, it's really something. Would you think that's safe to say he's the most exciting player in baseball?
Yeah, that is. He's right up there, you know, especially doing it, you know, right here in the press. And, you know, you could talk about Tatis Jr. being an extremely exciting player, for example. Well, but he's young. You know, he doesn't have that many games under his belt. He's never been to a World Series, and he hasn't performed in a World Series. So if you think about the legends in all sports, we think about the Michael Jordan, the Larry Bird, you know, Magic Johnson, you know, Tom Brady. And we keep going. It doesn't even matter what sports you choose. What do these legends have in common? They perform in the postseason. That's what we were talking about Kershaw. He needs to perform in the postseason and in the World Series, as he did last night, to solidify his legacy. And look, he's going to be a Hall of Famer, but it sure sounds a lot better when you say, I got some rings, you know, Derek Jeter, Jogi Berra. I mean, you know, Babe Ruth, these guys, there's a reason why they are idolized and moralized in the sport. Well, Mookie Betts last night pretty much making a case for himself, coming through and doing it in so many different ways. What an exciting player. So I would say, yes, at this moment, right now, today, the most exciting player in baseball, if you're going to, he's worth every single penny that you pay for to get into a stadium to watch someone play baseball. I mean, just an impressive, talent.
And what the heck were the Red Sox thinking? You know, that is a big market team, Carlos. They're not Tampa. What are they doing trading Mookie Betts in the prime of his career? What are they, stupid?
Yeah, man, yesterday I'm watching this game. I'm like, are you serious? And this is the thing. You had him. You had the opportunity to keep him. Look, I'm not even going to give him any trouble. You know, I'm not even going to argue with the fact, like, okay, you know, it was last year. It was towards the end of his contract, you know, I mean, before free agency. And you had him when he was young. Didn't you see this 2 years ago? That's really, you know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Wasn't that the time where you would then try to sign a player that you know is going to be a pillar in your organization and sign him to a long-term deal? That's when it really makes sense, not when he's about to walk and he's one of the most coveted he's going to be one of the most coveted free agents in the world. Are you kidding me? That's not the time to do it. You had to do it first, second year. You need to recognize talent right away.
Let me ask you about tonight as we're getting set for this game, game two between the Dodgers and Tampa. Dodgers up 1-0 after Bellinger, Betts, and Kershaw were just spectacular last night. Carlos Pena here with us for a few more moments. What comes down to tonight? You know, Snell probably has to give him a great start, right, that Glasnow failed to do last night.
Yes, indeed. I mean, like I said earlier in the show, this is going to be a must-win for the Rays. If they do not, you know, materialize tonight into a W, I think they are in serious trouble. And you could say, you know, that the odds dramatically and drastically just shift towards the Dodgers. So today is a must win. Snell's going to have to, just like I told you with Kershaw, he's going to have to strategize. I thought, looking at Glasnow pitch, he was all over the place with his fastball. He didn't have any clear strategy, almost like if he was feeling himself, feeling his way through the game, you know, and that is not a good formula. You have to know what you're going to do. With this lineup, you have to attack up and in with your fastball. Glasnow throws 100 miles per hour. Why are you throwing low and away fastballs when you could blast these guys in? You don't want to let these guys get extended. And you're like, wait a second. Bellinger hit a fastball that was in. Yeah, but, you know, when you're going back and forth, out, in, low, you know, that pitch was not optimized. You have to pitch exclusively in that up and in part of the strike zone, I think, against this Dodger lineup. And then you utilize your off-speed pitches on the other side, on the soft side of the strike zone, which is low and away. If you have that combination, you may be able to stunt this Dodger lineup. Otherwise, you're going to be in serious trouble. So I'm going to be looking for Blake Snell to establish that fastball in the uppermost and innermost part of the zone, and then pair it up with that huge curveball and changeup that he's got. But that's what's going to be the equalizer, the up and in fastball. Watch it tonight.
Last one from Carlos Pena from the MLB Network. Manfred, he's talking about keeping the extra inning rules where you start extra innings with the guy on second base in the regular season. And he's talking about not going with 16 teams, but expanding the postseason from 10 moving forward in the future. Are you on board with the extra innings and then the expanded postseason?
You know, I'm going to start with the expanded postseason. I thought it's been pretty, pretty cool to see teams that maybe otherwise wouldn't have a shot. Maybe 16 teams are taken into an extreme because then it exposes these great ball clubs that played all their years, all the year having a dominant season. They could be out of the race pretty quickly in a short series. Okay, so I think maybe toning it down a little bit, but still expanding it from the old version. I like that idea. More teams get in, more teams have a shot, but at the same time, we protect those teams that, you know, have fought all year to be dominant and been dominant. Okay, so I'm good with that, no problem. As far as the runner at second base and extra innings, that's another thing that I'm not totally against. I'm not a baseball purist, you know, I'm really not. I would say I'm a romantic, but not a baseball purist. So I'm like, okay, what does this do to the game? Well, it kind of like makes it a little bit more exciting because action, it forces action immediately. So if it's the same for both ball clubs, even though we can get into mathematical equations that may say that the advantage would go to the visiting team, the top of the inning. But I really think it works. I don't mind the guy at second. I think it makes it a little bit more exciting, and it expedites things. It expedites action, and I'm all for it.
Carlos Pena, keep up the great work at the MLB Network. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Chad. You take care.
There is Carlos Pena. We'll chat a little game two as it just got underway, and you already have a score. We'll tell you what's going on in Game 2 of the World Series as the Dodgers are up in this series 1-0 when we return. Also, when we come on back at the tail end of that conversation, we talked about the rules. Do you want to see the extra innings, the way that they're currently structured, continue? And also the playoff format, should it be expanded? We'll talk about that next. Zach Gilb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Expanded playoffs, not 16 teams, but something beyond the 10 that we've been doing. I think, generated a ton of excitement that week where there was just baseball everywhere. It was fantastic for the sport. I think the one that has the most appeal across the industry is probably the extra inning rule. There's a lot of strategy associated with it for fans. They know when they got to get focused on the end of the game. And for players, you know, it kind of limits the outside of that extra inning envelope.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
That's my favorite clown. Oh, sorry. We're on the air. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Mic's on. Mic's on. That's my favorite commissioner, Rob Manfred. Sorry, Rob Manfred. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Rob, I haven't forgot about you. Don't be expecting a Hanukkah card or a Christmas present from yours truly this year. I still don't like you as the commissioner of Major League Baseball. I think you're terrible at your job. Anywho, when we talk about what Rob Manfred said, Connor, can you correct me if I'm wrong here? Now, personally, I like the extra inning rule where you put a guy on second base. I have one little alteration that I wouldn't mind seeing. But haven't you heard most players bitch and complain about it? And Manfred saying, like, oh, it's universally liked, you know, across the board, you know, from people I talk to in the industry. He uses these big fancy words as if we're stupid people.
Most players that I've seen don't like it. Most of my friends that I've talked to don't like it. Most of my uncles in my family don't like it. In fact, I really don't think I've spoken to anybody outside of maybe you that likes it all that much. And the diehard baseball people can't stand it. So when he says it's, you know, going really well and everybody seems to like it, I stopped and said, who is he talking to and who is he focused grouping?
Can we have a reference point? Can we have a little evidence here to support your hypothesis?
Because I don't know anybody that really likes the 10th inning rule at all. So I don't really know exactly what Manfred is talking about.
So are you saying myself and Rob Manfred, who had a great animosity for one another, are out here on our loan on the island together and now we're going to become best pals? Plot twist on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
This is your real come-together moment. You guys finally agree, and I think you can settle your differences and come in agreement over the extra inning rule. It'll finally bring you together.
Right now.
Rob and Zach.
No, sorry. I'd be like, Rob, here's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, then punch him in the face. Nah, that's a little bit too aggressive. I would not inflict pain on Rob Manfred. But he inflicted a lot of pain on me during the pandemic. I'm sitting there, I lost like a vocal cord and like popped a blood vessel with how much screaming I was doing, back to his public negotiations and just the incompetence that he displayed and the lack of leadership that he had during the few months leading up to the season. Here's what I'll say. Now, maybe it's because when you're actually allowed to go to games in 2019, in that like 2019-2020 season, I was going to games. And I was basically, last year, I had this bad string of luck where it was anytime I was there, extra innings, extra innings, extra innings. There was one game, though, I forget who the Mets played. It was like 17 innings. And I'm like, oh, this is too much. So I was thinking about this. I don't mind putting the guy on second base in the regular season. That does not bother me. I can to maybe compromise with people that don't like it. Here's what I'll negotiate with you. Because you hate this rule. You don't like it. You don't want to see it continue is what I'm gathering, right?
Yeah, I'm really not a huge fan of it. But, I mean, I'm not the most opposed to the rule.
Okay. But let me just say, you said it was your uncles who can't stand this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. How many uncles you have?
I think four of my uncles really hate it.
I feel like you have an Uncle Pat. Do you have an Uncle Pat?
I don't have an Uncle Pat.
Do you have an Uncle Jim?
Don't have an Uncle Jim.
Wow, I thought for sure Jim and Pat. Definitely.
I have an Uncle Greg and an Uncle Mike.
Okay, so you have an Uncle
no Pat, though.
Mike and an Uncle Greg. You have another uncle there in the fold? You said you had two more, right?
I have an Uncle Vinny, too.
Uncle Vinny. All right, let's go with Uncle Vinny.
All right.
Is it Vinny Green or no?
It's Vinny Uzzolino, my mom's side.
Oh, Vinny Uzzolino?
Uzzolino. My mom's maiden name. Yeah, a little Italian.
He seems like he could hang with my family on Thanksgiving and have some lasagna on Thanksgiving. So, Vinny Uzzolino. Let's say if I was talking to him, he's definitely a Yankee fan, right?
He is, but he kind of like will rub it in when the Yankees lose. He's like a weird sports fan.
He's kind of a Yankee fan, but he'll rub it in your face if the Yankees lose. Then he's not a Yankee fan.
He's like, he'll root for the Yankees, but then if I care a lot when the Yankees lose, then he'll laugh at me and root for the other team or something like that.
Gotcha. So, now I don't want to go
too... My other two uncles are Yankee fans.
I don't want to go too far into the family, but he's kind of like then Uncle Vinny Uzzolini. Is he like the drunk, happy uncle all the time and that just likes to... Maybe, like, rub you the wrong way and get under people's skin. I think he just likes.
He's not a huge sports guy, so he doesn't get too into it. So when we get all into it, he doesn't totally understand it.
Okay, so let's say I'm talking to one of your uncles, because now I'm going all across the Connor Green family tree. Let's just say one of your uncles who hates this rule, I say, okay, let's compromise. Because it is an exciting thing when you have that. It does shorten the games. No one wants to see 14, 15, 16 extra inning games. It's just too much. And basically, everyone's just doing what's wrong with baseball in that spot. They're trying to hit a home run or they're going to strike out. So let's put a guy on second base, increase the strategy. However, I'm going to do something like hockey does. Now, some people don't like the shootout. Hockey doesn't go right away to the shootout. In the regular season, they do 5 minutes of 3-on-3. How about I give you 2 innings of regular extra innings, and then after the 11th inning, so when you go from the 11th to the 12th, if no one could score or you don't have a difference in the score and it's the same score or it's just tied but a few runs more, that after the 11th inning, you put a guy on second base for the 12th. Would you be okay with that? Do you think we could get the baseball purists who most people are like, we don't change the rules. I'm all right with sitting there for 4 hours. What's the difference if it's 5.5, 6? Would you be all right with making that the rule and the alteration in just the 12th inning and moving on?
I wouldn't have a problem with that. But what the baseball purists would probably argue is that if it's not broke, don't fix it. And is putting a guy on second base in the 12th inning or 11th inning, whatever you want to do, is that really going to bring a younger crowd in? Because the baseball purists, even if they do that, they'll watch regardless. But is that really going to get some kid who's like 12 or 13 or 14 that you want to become a lifelong baseball fan? Are they all of a sudden going to be like, oh my God, I'm a huge baseball fan now?
You're right on that. And this is the problem with Rob Manfred. He gets too caught up in making these changes with all the rules. The three batter minimum when you bring in a pitcher into the game and all this nonsense, where in reality, it doesn't drastically shave time off. Like extra innings, it may, because you could get to a 16, 17 inning affair, but it's all an unknown. It's all a guessing game. And how many 16, 17, 18 inning affairs do you get during the course of the season? So I do think it makes it more exciting. Does it create new fans? No, it doesn't. Baseball's biggest problem, and it's been this way for years, they don't do a good job marketing. They don't. Like, for example, golfers, you know, and I'm a casual golf fan. I know more golfers and the products they associate themselves with, and it's an individual sport. I get it's a little bit different from the 4-6 times I watch golf a year compared to baseball. Like a guy like Mike Trout, and I think Mike Trout's the best player in baseball. If he's walking down a street in New York City, how many people recognize him in Times Square compared to if you put, I don't know, NFL Odell Beckham or NBA, like even if you don't go superstar, give me someone in the NBA that's not a superstar that you think would be easily identified if he was walking down the streets in New York City. Like, who's the guy? For example, Tyler Hero, just based off the postseason run that he had. You know, if Tyler Hero's walking down the street in New York City, I think someone recognizes him. For Mike Trout, and maybe it's, you know, I think a lot of times he would walk down the street, people are like, who are you? And he's the best player in the sport right now. Maybe not the Tyler Hero one's the best comparison, but it's just one that just jumps out of my mind. Like baseball, they do a brutal job. You know, with Mike Trout, remember when Manfred was going back and forth with him? Like you're trying to alienate your best star by going after him with the whole marketing thing. There's never a compromise on that. So that's my biggest problem with baseball, just the lack of marketing the stars. The best way to do it is in the postseason. So therefore, they're going to say then we need more postseason teams then. Mike Trout can't get into the postseason this year with 8 in each league. Mike Trout can't get in. Only got him one time, you know, 5 in each league with the wild card. As a baseball fan, with the 162 games, I know this year's different with 60. I'm all right with changing it up. But with the 162 games, to put
because they probably go to 14, 7 in each league. He said not 8, but they probably go 14, 7 in each league. To put 7 teams in and make me watch 162 games, that's excessive. That's ridiculous. I did not think the NFL should change to an extra team. They do 7 in each league. The NFL could do whatever they want. The NFL is king. Players are going to be on board with that because it gives them an opportunity to get into the postseason that maybe they wouldn't have. But to go to potentially 7 in each league consistently, I think it waters down your regular season product. Now, if you tell me, and they won't do this because it's all about money, if you give me 130 regular season games, $125, then maybe I could be on board with it. But they're never going to cut back and shave off that many games. They wouldn't do it. If they're going to shave off the games, it'd be what? $145, $150 compared to $162. So that one I can't stand. I think the baseball format with how it is on a usual year, the wild card playing game, the three divisional winners are in. Winner of that wild card playing game, one game, boom, you get to the ALDS or the NLDS if you win that game. I think that's a perfect system. So I will agree on the extra innings and the playoff expansion. Can't stand the possibility of a playoff expansion. All right, right now in the World Series, you're in the top of the second. Rays did strike first in the top of the first. Brandon Lowe, who had 14 regular season home runs, and I think he played like 55 or 56 games this year. He didn't play all 60, but Brandon Lowe hit 14 home runs in the regular season. He had a solo shot, so you have Tampa 1, Dodgers nothing. Carlos Pena said it, I agree with him. This is a must-win, a must-win for Tampa Bay. You go down 2-0 with Walker Buehler on the mound on Friday, yeah, you're not going to win this series. So you got to make this 1-1 and then put all the pressure and shift all the pressure after the brilliance from Kershaw and Betts and Bellinger last night. You got to shift all the pressure back to the Dodgers in this one. And you got to get a victory tonight. And the way you're going to do that, probably going to need 7 strong innings from Blake Snell. And the Rays almost scored another run, but they got thrown out at the plate. That wasn't even close. So 1-0 Tampa. All right, here to update you with all the latest in the world of sports, we get to Bob Uecker.
The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
Well, that was adventurous. Sometimes you don't see what goes on here behind the scenes. Connor Green, how nervous were you right there? I'll set it up for the folks in just a second. Let me catch my breath, though.
I was not nervous at all because I have great faith in you, and I knew you would make it. I had faith in
Way
you,
to
Zach.
Suck up. So, for the last month, I have to fill something out so I can get paid for something extra that I'm doing here at CBS Sports Radio for one of the spots that we do. And I keep on just forgetting to fill out this form because the deal was for like 6 weeks. And I got paid extra for those 6 weeks. So with the deal expiring this week, I said to myself, all right, let me print this thing out. Now, I went to the printer, and I haven't used the scanner here in a while since, you know, we haven't been in the office because of the pandemic, and I haven't had to use the scanner. So the first scanner wasn't working. I run to the second scanner. And I was scanning both documents that have, like, some important information on it, like my Social Security number, which if you want to rob, like, $7 for me, go ahead. It has my email, like, my phone number, all that stuff. So that is still sitting on the machine, but there's no one in this office anyway, so I will go back and get that during the break, which I got to be careful then of Stuart Kovacs if he's listening in the newsroom because then he may go steal my information. So I got the stuff scanned. And then I'm kind of had like an internal play clock in my head. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I'm getting really close to coming back from this break late. So then I just started bolting. And I guess, Connor, you were getting a little bit concerned because Stuart Kovacs is in the newsroom, look, a deer in headlights when he sees me bursting through the door to get back into the newsroom that leads into our studio. And Stu was like, oh, no, see, I was just going to get you because, you know, I guess the thought was maybe I went to the bathroom, and I don't know if you guys had a conversation. I did not go out that way, and I guess Stu then probably saw me go into the bullpen. Or, that's not the bullpen, the sales room to go scan a copy. So
I got a little concerned, and then I started to bolt here and run. So now,
I mean,
now that sprint, I kind of have to catch my breath because I'm out of breath.
It could have been worse, Zach. I mean, you could have got stuck in an elevator. We couldn't have been able to get you out. Wouldn't have had you for 30 minutes or so. It wasn't
too
bad.
Were you working here that night?
No.
Oh, but you've heard that story.
I've heard the story, yeah.
Now, I did not get stuck in an elevator, but there was a host from down the hall that he got stuck in the elevator, and he is an older man. What? Why am I stuck? Me? I'm here. You're there. And they had to, I guess, I don't know what they did. Like, what would happen if I just went missing? I went missing in action right now. What would you have done if, let's say, you sent Stu on the Zach Gelb search? Stu was doing the search, and you couldn't find me. What would you do?
I would probably play a bed for a while, and then if you still didn't show up, then we just have a replay of the Carlos Pena interview.
Gotcha.
And then we'd probably replay Jeff Fisher, and then replay Pena again.
And then hope that I show up somewhere.
Yeah, and then call you a whole bunch of times.
Now, whenever I ask producers this off the air, and now we're having this conversation on the air, why wouldn't you just turn on the microphone and start hosting the show? Don't you think that would be a better alternative than replaying something that the audience heard 45 minutes ago? Or would it be out of fear that management wouldn't like that and you would get people telling you, Connor, I pay you to be a producer. I don't pay you to be the talk show. You know, make sure you know where Zach is and don't have him run and go make copies during the show, all right?
Yeah, I don't know how management would take it if all of a sudden it became the Connor Green Show. I think it'd be like, where is Zach and why is Connor talking into the microphone?
You're hosting this show today. What's your lead topic?
My lead topic? Either World Series or Cowboys stuff. That's
gotcha. All right. So we'll get to the Cowboys a little bit later on in the show. I have to go get those papers during the break, which that won't be a problem because I have 5 minutes. It's a nice little casual stroll. It's just weird. I should have used a stopwatch and then timed myself on how long I had, but I just kind of felt, all right, you know when 5 minutes is up. And I got back here right. It was what? I was five seconds late, but there's an extra 10 seconds from the clock that I see anyway. So technically I was on time, and you just let the music run out a little bit, even though I was still in the studio, because you probably wanted me to catch my breath and all that.
I mean, you sat down pretty much right as I hit the music bed. So you really, you weren't that late.
Gotcha.
And I had great faith. I knew you would be there in that seat on time as scheduled.
That's something I do miss, though, with the dynamic in this place. I always enjoy, because that doesn't usually happen here, but down the hall, I always enjoy when the host goes to the bathroom or talks it up in the newsroom, and then the producer comes running out. You know, Beningo would always do this. Joe Beningo, for people that don't know, in New York, he hosts a long time and also done some work here on CBS Sports Radio. Beningo would always be chatted up in the newsroom, and Ernie would come out and be like, Joe, where are you, Joe? Joe, we need you back. You're 2 minutes late. And Joe's talking to someone about, like, the stinking Jets and how terrible they are. I do miss that dynamic because now, the newsroom scene, it's dead here. Now, Stu comes in an hour and a half before his show. There's maybe one kid cutting tape here, maybe. I don't even think there's anyone cutting tape tonight, to be honest. I didn't see anyone in that newsroom.
I think the tape person is working from home.
Oh.
A little remote action.
All right, it's a little remote tape op. And then down the hall, I saw Arzuman. I was talking to Ed Arzuman a little bit, who he needs a haircut, by the way. Man. You know, would you agree with this? Right now, if you haven't got a haircut yet, you're just kind of proving no point here. Like, I get it the first 3, 4, 5 months of the pandemic. Well, what are we? April, May, June, July, August, September, October, almost in November. We're talking about 8 months of this crap now. You got to go get a haircut. And Ed said to me, he goes, I'm not going anywhere, so what does it matter? But you probably don't feel well if you have that much hair.
I mean, I've only gotten 2 haircuts since the pandemic, and my mom is always yelling at me every time she sees me to go get a haircut, so yeah. I can't be pointing fingers in the haircut realm.
I have been the hair authority in my family. I have made sure that all the older people get their hair colored, and then everyone else is constantly getting haircuts. You gotta look good, right? Look good, feel good. Talking about long hair, by the way, how about that cheesy radio transition? Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback for Clemson. So I saw that Roddy White. We have that audio, actually. This was Roddy White. Where was he on? You know, I should be a little bit more prepared. Roddy White was on The Big Lead.
Here is Roddy White saying that Trevor Lawrence should return to Clemson if the Jets get the number one pick.
If I'm Trevor Lawrence, if the Jets finish with no wins, I just go back to Clemson.
Really?
Yeah, I just go back. I don't want any part of that organization because it would be awful for you to get drafted by the Jets because they do not know how to put anything together over there as far as quarterbacking, weapons around the quarterback, as far as anything that has to do with offensive thing, talent. That team is just bad at picking players.
So Roddy White is not wrong in his analysis. Everything he said, the Jets do a terrible job picking talent. They're terrible in the draft. They're terrible in free agency. Seriously, the Jets can mess up a two-car funeral procession right now. That's what they've done for a very long time. There is zero confidence in that organization. But if I was doing that interview with Roddy White, and everyone could critique other people's interviews, what I would say, what my follow-up would be, well, what happens if you go back to college and then the inept, miserable Jets are miserable once again, and they're 0-16, 1-15, 2-14 again, and you went back to college without getting paid from what we know of, and then you're back in the same spot next year where the Jets are picking number one overall. So what Roddy White, I thought, should have said, and I don't believe Trevor Lawrence would go back. I don't. I think this is it for Trevor Lawrence. I think you're going to the pros, and I think you're going to be a really successful quarterback. Fit does matter. If Trevor Lawrence really didn't want to play for the Jets, the answer is not to go out and say, yeah, I'm going to go back to college. No, you just tell the Jets, I'm not playing for you. Pick me. I'm not playing for you. You could pick me. You could trade me. You could get a huge package in return for me. I'm not playing for you. If that's what he wanted to do, he could do that. But the answer is not to say I'm going back to college. You do what Eli Manning did. And does anyone really bring that up against Eli Manning now? No. Everyone forgets about it. Archie Manning held his hand. Eli, he can't go to San Diego. Poor Eli can't go to San Diego. San Diego drafted Eli Manning. Then the Giants drafted Phillip Rivers, and they had a swap with some other picks going that way. That's what you do if you're Trevor Lawrence, if you really don't want to go with the Jets. Can you imagine the Jets fan the entire year? Tank for Trevor, tank for Trevor, tank for Trevor. And then Trevor Lawrence goes, yeah, I'm going to use my brain here. I'm not going to that miserable, god-awful organization. I'd actually feel bad for Jets fans if that happened. I would. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. The triumphant return of Antonio Brown could be coming soon. What team could he possibly be going to? We got a lot of AB options. AB makes a whole lot of money, or once did. We got a whole lot of teams for AB.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.